Thank you. My name is Lisa, and I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlanta Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Phil and Dino, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and/or understanding. Natalie will read the preamble.
Hi, my name is Natalie. I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, Craig will read the steps.
Hi, my name's Craig. I'm an alcoholic. We admit we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to others, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Made a list of all people we have harmed and become willing to make amends to all of them. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. Having a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Heather will read the traditions.
Hi, I'm Heather. I'm an alcoholic. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Stephen.
Hi, my name is Stephen. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 12, 2008. My sponsor is Adam B. I'm proud to call Atlanta Group my AA home group, and I'm currently working step 9 and living in 10, 11, and 12. Wow. I'm so grateful to be here and to be sober today. My life is so different than it was a year ago that it's hard to even think about it without, I just want to cry. I love AA, and I'm so grateful for the program as is outlined in the Big Book, because it gives me clear direction, and I'm so grateful and relieved to know what's wrong with me. And that I have a solution. Because something's been wrong with me my entire life. I grew up with alcoholism. I was an alcoholic child. I did not like myself. I always felt different. I had 5 sisters and no brothers. So I thought that was the problem. Then I grew up on a Christmas tree farm in a rural area of Southern California. And I was gay. And I didn't even know what that was. I just knew I was different. And I hated myself. And I wanted to be somebody else. My entire life, I wanted to be somebody else. I remember begging my parents to send me to military boarding school instead of to the public high school, because I just was so afraid, and I just thought I didn't have the tools. I didn't know what normal boys felt like or thought, and I didn't think I'd make it. And they didn't send me, but about that time in 8th grade is when I found alcohol, and it became my solution. You know, the Big Book talks about our problem was a lack of power, and I never felt like I had any power or I fit in, and alcohol made everything better. I felt powerful, I felt like I fit in, I was funny. I all of a sudden had something in common with all of these people, and I was a really good drinker. You know, and it progressed. I drank like crazy throughout high school. I went away to college, which was the scariest thing ever, to leave my parents' house. And the first thing I did was I had all these sweet mates, at school, and I was afraid to speak to them. I was so afraid to interact with them, so I piled them all into my car and took them to Tijuana and got everybody drunk. That was my solution, and it worked. I actually knew tons of people in Tijuana because that's where we used to party in high school, so they thought I was really cool, and I was just, you know, I just knew how to drink. And it worked for me for a long time, but it's a progressive disease, and it continued to progress, and life became harder and more unmanageable, and I was able to get through college, and I got teaching credentials, and I went to grad school, and I actually, you know, had jobs, but it just kept getting harder and harder and harder to hold it together and try to look like a normal person. And drugs are a big part of my story. I'm not going to focus on that. But my disease progressed in that way. And that's how I hit my bottom, which is the only reason I mention it. And I found another fellowship. And it saved my life because I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I thought I had a very specific problem, and it wasn't alcohol. And but by being able to go to another fellowship, I was able to meet a sponsor who brought me to the Atlantic Group and to work the steps out of the Big Book. And today I say I'm an alcoholic proudly because I just, like I said, I know what's wrong with me, and this program gives me a solution, and it's given me just a completely different outlook on life. You know, I had to change. I didn't want to change. I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. I thought the problem was with everybody else, and I quit jobs. I broke up with boyfriends. I moved cities, and things just kept getting worse. And I finally got here, and I had a sponsor in the other fellowship before I found Adam. And when I would complain to him, he would start to point out my part, and I was like, "You're not listening to me. This has nothing to do with me." And I wasn't willing to hear it, and I relapsed. I relapsed 4 times in 6 months. And it was awful to not be able to stop and to want to stop and to not be able to and to have to come back and not be able to look people in the eye and to look at the floor. You know, the Big Book calls it incomprehensible demoralization, and I was living it for 9 months of counting days. I counted days for 9 months. So if you're new, or if you're coming back from a slip especially and you think this program won't work for you, keep coming back and try. That's all you have to do, because I didn't think it would work for me. And it did. And if it will work for me, it will work for anybody. I really believe that. It will work for anybody if you try. So I counted days in this room. This room is very special to me. It's really strange to see it from up here. And last year, about this time, I went on a trip to Pockets of Enthusiasm with my sponsor and my grand sponsor and some friends, Kristen and Kareth, that weren't my friends at the time. I didn't know them yet. And I was afraid to go. I was afraid to get in the car. And my grand sponsor just said, "Get in the car." And something happened on that trip. I just, something changed, something shifted. And I did my third step on the beach when I was up there. The last day, we stayed up late both nights getting as much work done as we could so that we'd be ready for me to take my third step out on the beach before we left. And I had a beautiful walk on the beach with my grand sponsor. And I got to go out on the beach with my sponsor and kneel down and look out at the ocean and say the third step prayer for the first time. And something shifted. And It was the line about take away my problems, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. And something, that's when it stopped becoming about, it wasn't about me anymore. It was about helping somebody else. I actually started to think that if I can do this, then I'll be able to help somebody else. And that is what got me through a really rough year. Taking inventory and sharing that with my sponsor was not fun. I was miserable. But I have to say, I really started to see the beauty of this program when I got to the eighth and ninth step, especially. And I got to make amends to my mom. You know, one of my relapses was last Christmas. And I disappeared for 3 days, and she thought I was dead. And I was blaming her. And I got to, and several years before that, I had actually made a promise to her that I would get sober, and I didn't keep it. And I got to make amends to her and tell her that I'm finally keeping the promise that I made. And I made amends to other sisters. I'm making a lot of financial amends that are really scary right now because my job's temporary. But I'm not running from those problems anymore. And it's amazing to call, you know, I had to call a creditor today and set up a payment that I don't know if I'm going to have a job in 2 months, but I still set it up. And it was just not having to have that fear. And then now that I'm in 10, 11, and 12, it's just amazing. It's given me, continuing to take my inventory and to pray and meditate has given me a foundation that to live by. And I know I'm just at the beginning of this journey, and I'm so grateful for my sobriety. Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Anne.
Hi, my name is Anne H., and I'm an alcoholic. Hi. My sponsor is Sherry W., and my sobriety date is March 17th, 2005. This makes me emotional too. I'm so grateful to be here today. I can't tell you how many times I was in my bed just wondering what it would be like to be sober for like a couple of weeks and what my life would look like. And it looks so much better than I ever imagined. I came from a family that was pretty dysfunctional. There was some abuse, and I have to say that none of that caused me to be here. And that's such a relief, because you can't change what happened to you, but you can change when you come in here. And that's what I've been able to do. I started drinking. My first drink was with a family member at like 10 years old. And I drank up till I was 26. I went into a meeting for the first time after I had lost a numerous amount of friends and no one would speak to me in college. And I didn't get it the first time. And I ended up drinking and using other substances for 9.5 years more. That took me to sleeping in Central Park in cocktail dresses, hanging out with homeless people who are actually kind enough to like let me use their blankets when I would just stumble on them drunk and have nowhere else to go. Because at that point, I was such a traveling drunk. I mean, every borough, I mean, anybody, I was always unhappy with any situation I was in, even when I was drinking. So when people talk about the relief of the first drink, actually, when I took the first drink, there was no real relief until I blacked out. And at the end, in the last years, that was the part that I would really look for, was the adventure. I was like, okay, now I'm going to black out. Now I won't have to feel bad or hate myself. Because from a very young age, and of course compounded with the things that I had done to myself and to others, I really hated myself. waking up was just pretty much a nightmare, whether I was hungover or not. And thank God, knowing when you come in here that it's not just a drinking thing. Because if you come in here and you're like, well, I put down the drink and my life still sucks. Well, why is that? So it's not just the drinking, and thank God I found that out. I was in here for 2 years, about 2 years ago, and I was ready to kill myself. And I'm thinking, how do I want to kill myself if I haven't drank in 2 years? I'm doing everything they say, which meant, everything they said meant, I'm hanging out with people after a meeting, going for coffee, and I'm talking to a lot of people on the phone and complaining. So now I'm opening up, and I'm like, well, now I'm sharing some of my secrets, so why is everything still so horrendous? I was literally a shivering wreck on the floor, and I thought, I just want to die. I didn't think that I could trust someone enough to tell them things that I had done. But here, you meet people that are just like you and that won't judge you. And I'm telling you, I was going to kill myself. I thought, I'm going to die with these secrets. I didn't know what to do. So I met a woman, and of course, I was praying to God. I said, please put someone in my life in the next week or I'm just going. She put somebody in my life. God put someone in my life. It's a little Freudian slip is showing. But God put someone in my life that I met her as under the guise of a friendship. Like, oh, we're going to start fellowshipping. She never really hangs out with anybody. And she said to me, after 10 minutes of talking to me, she said, you know what? I can take you through the steps. And I knew. And I think, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but the grace period where you know it's like, if I don't start doing this suggestion that I didn't have to do 2 months ago, my grace period is up. Like, I knew when I came into the rooms this time that my grace period was over. I wouldn't have any more luck. I wouldn't be able to have cops take me home, invite them in, and them not come in. I wouldn't be able to end up in Central Park and not be killed. I wouldn't be able to have a fist fight with a guy in the middle of the street and not get arrested. I knew that that was going to end. And I knew in my gut that day, I said, I better take her up on this offer. And it's a leap of faith when you come in here. But you know, if you hear one thing today, just one thing that resonates, if it doesn't make sense, grab someone and ask them. Don't walk out of here thinking that you don't have a choice. Because I'll tell you, 9.5 years of complete misery and relationships that I've been lucky to repair some of them. But you know, things don't always become perfect when you come in here. The stuff that I did before just doesn't go away. You can do your best to clean it up, though. And I can walk today with a feeling that I'm okay. And, you know, I have sponsees now, and I have to say, it's the most meaningful relationships. It's such an equal partnership working with a sponsee. So anybody who's new and who is afraid to call somebody because you're bothering them, let me tell you, people who called me and other people I know, you saved their butts so many times. You saved their butts just because you needed help. So my sponsee said to me, she said, you know what? She goes, Anne, it's like you have two lives. The people who end up dying, she said, they're on their deathbed and they have all these regrets. And she said, we get to walk off that deathbed and make all those regrets go away. And it's what Bill W. said. And I think it was even before she read it, she said that. And it was amazing. And it's true. We shall not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. And before I came here, I was just reading a little bit of the big book. And it said, the stuff that I've done, the stuff that we've done here, collectively is going to help somebody else. And that is my purpose here. To give away what was so freely given to me, a solution to my problem that goes beyond alcohol. And I am really grateful. And is it okay if I'm kind of done? Okay. Thank you.